From the studios of NPR West, this is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick.
And I'm Alex Cohen. Coming up, word from the Pentagon on the National Guard's redeployment.
First, climate change and the cars you drive, an environmental equation that is being recalculated after a Supreme Court decision last week, and it may get rejiggered again after another case in Vermont tomorrow. NPR environment correspondent Elizabeth Shogren is with us. Elizabeth, this is kind of confusing. Explain to us, will you, the kinds of things that are being regulated here.
The government regulates the fuel efficiency of a vehicle. And the government also regulates how much pollution comes out of a vehicle. Now, what's happening here is California has tried to say that cutting greenhouse gas emissions is part of its authority, that it has the authority to cut greenhouse gas emissions. Car companies say that only the federal government has the right to do that because cutting greenhouse gas emissions is the same thing as setting a fuel efficiency standard.
Okay, California has a long record of actually combating air pollution and leading the country, and there's a whole kind of set of regulatory law that has to do with the standards that California set decades ago to control pollution that was very bad in California. And those standards are followed by some states, not followed by most of the states, but some states, including Vermont. There is a case in Vermont tomorrow. Vermont trying to follow the regulations that were set earlier by California. Can it do that in regards to the emissions of greenhouse gases?
Well, that's exactly what the question is. Vermont argues that it does have that power, and the car companies argue that it doesn't have that power. The Supreme Court weighed in last week in its ruling on greenhouse gases, and it said that, in fact, EPA does have the power, and, in fact, that it should not shirk its environmental responsibility to regulate greenhouse gas emissions. So, by extension, Vermont and the other states say that they have the right to do it because the Clean Air Act specifically gives California the right to set tougher standards than the federal standards and says that other states can adopt those tougher standards.
We're going to talk to the Vermont Attorney General in a moment to get more on this, but essentially the question is, can you consider greenhouse gases to be a form of pollution? These are the gases that cause global warming. Can you regulate them in the same way that you regulate pollution standards, which is already agreed upon? Is that right? Do I have it correct?
That is basically what's at issue here. And in fact, the Supreme Court says they are pollution and that they do have a negative effect on our country and that EPA should look into whether or not they can regulate them. So that is what's going on here. The states have not wanted to wait for EPA to act. And so we have first California and then a dozen other states stepping up to the plate and saying, we're not going to wait. We're going to start regulating greenhouse gas emissions.
Okay, a very basic question. This was decided at the Supreme Court last week. EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, you have to do something on this. What is the EPA going to do? Do they have a set of regulations in waiting or what? What will happen now?
There hasn't been much official response from EPA on that question. The administrator was out of the country last week. And I think one of the reasons we don't have any response is that EPA really doesn't know what to do yet. They have said that they will look into the question of whether to give California the okay for this request to go ahead with tougher standards. And inside the agency, we see a lot of different kinds of reactions. The career officials have been elated by the Supreme Court decision because they've long felt that EPA should go ahead with tougher standards for greenhouse gas emissions. But political appointees are very nervous because President Bush has said he opposes mandatory cuts in greenhouse gas emissions.
So when would the EPA have to come out with something, or could officials simply wait for Mr. Bush's administration to end in another year and 9 months and then start considering regulations? Can they wait that long, or do they have to do something?
Well, the Supreme Court did not give the agency any kind of deadline. So all it has told them is that it should look into it again, and it set a very high bar for what EPA would have to decide in order not to regulate. But agencies are really expert at taking a long time to set regulations, especially if they don't want to set them. But there's a lot of political calculations that have to be going on right now. And one of those calculations is going on inside the industry and with the Bush administration officials. And they're thinking...
When you say industry, you mean auto industry?
Yes. If eventually there's going to have to be a regulation, who do we want to set it? Do we want President Bush and his allies to set these regulations? Or do we want some new, maybe Democratic president and his allies to set the regulation? And the industry is going to have to be thinking, well, maybe it would be better to push these things forward while President Bush still has power to say how strong and stringent they would be.
NPR environment correspondent Elizabeth Shogren. Elizabeth, thank you.
Thank you.
We go now to Burlington, Vermont, and to William Sorrell, the state's attorney general. He's working on this latest case involving carbon emissions and the automobile industry. Welcome to the program, Attorney General Sorrell.
I'm happy to be here.
What are the details of this particular case? I understand that the auto industry is suing the state of Vermont.
Yes. What Vermont did was follow the lead of California, adopted the California emission regulations for new autos. And the industry sued us saying, one, the state can't do this. Two, by regulating carbon dioxide, what you're really doing is affecting fuel economy standards. And even the EPA doesn't have authority to do that. That's the exclusive jurisdiction of the Federal Department of Transportation. So obviously we think otherwise.
I read that there are fewer cars registered in Vermont than in any other state. Is that correct?
That's probably correct. But on the other hand, Vermont is, I believe, the most rural state in the country. We have virtually no mass transportation, and Vermonters do a lot of driving.
I understand there are several local car and truck dealerships that are involved in the case. What's at stake for them?
Well, I think they're being driven by the nationals who have asked them to step up. They're going to sell their cars and trucks in Vermont no matter what the pollution control requirements are. But they're just standing in the shoes of the big national concerns who wanted local names to be on the case.
I understand that the automakers had asked that the public not be allowed into the court. The judge has said no to that. They will be allowed. What do the people of Vermont think about these tougher standards?
Well, our Republican governor lauded the U.S. Supreme Court decision last week and said it's about time that carbon dioxide problems, global warming, greenhouse gas emissions be controlled. Vermont has a real environmental impact dating back to banning highway billboards over 20 years ago when we're involved in other acid rain litigation against power plants from the Midwest. This is consistent with the views and the preferences of the average Vermonter.
The automakers have said that if, in fact, tougher standards rule, car prices might jump by as much as $3,000. That's quite a chunk of change. How will the people of Vermont feel about higher car prices?
Well, that remains to be seen. I think the industry has a history of sort of crying fire in the movie theater, and they did the same thing with catalytic converters. You know, the sky has fallen. Cars are going to be so much more expensive if we have to put this pollution control equipment in our cars, and the reality is not the case. Will there be some cost increase for reduced emissions? Yes. Is it going to be $3,000 or more? Unlikely.
If the judge rules in your favor, when will you expect these tougher auto emission standards to actually be implemented?
Well, it depends. I think there will be an appeal, certainly in Vermont's in what's called the Second Circuit. And then ultimately, the U.S. Supreme Court will probably rule on this case, whether out of Vermont or out of California or Rhode Island or one of the other states. So it could be quite a number of years before we see these regulations really affecting new car models. But, you know, it's time to start.
William Sorrell is the Attorney General for the state of Vermont. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us.
You're very welcome.
Tomorrow, we'll get the car industry side of this debate from a representative of the Auto Industry Alliance. And now to California to check in with the woman who's known as the author of the original tailpipe emissions legislation, Fran Pavley, who's currently a senior climate advisor with the Natural Resources Defense Council. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Can you refresh our memory? What exactly were the terms of the law that you originally wrote?
Well, it was my very first month in the California State Assembly, January of 2001. Two men stopped in my office and talked in concept to me about a bill to reduce tailpipe emissions from automobiles by 30% by 2016. Beginning in model year car 2009, it's phased in with standards and benchmarks in 2012, as well as finalizing the goal of a 30% reduction by 2016. And it also applies to all classes of vehicles, so it doesn't make people switch the kind of cars they want to drive from perhaps an SUV to a smaller car. All cars can be made to operate more efficiently.
Where were you last week when you heard about the Supreme Court's decision on this same topic?
Well, it was an East Coast decision, so I think it was about 7:30 a.m. California time. And it was quite exciting. The phones were starting to ring and emails were flying, and we were trying desperately to get to the exact wording of the decision. Why the decision was important to California: under the Federal Clean Air Act, California has to get a waiver from the Environmental Protection Agency to adopt more stringent regulations than the federal government has.
And what do you think the effect of the Supreme Court decision will be? It's my understanding that there is a district court case here in Fresno that's kind of been pending on what happened with the Supreme Court. What'll happen next year in California?
Well, it sounds like, from what I have heard, that the judge will be going ahead with that case. Of course, the Vermont case is preceding ours. The automobile manufacturers, not only the domestic big three, but the foreign automobile manufacturers, have formed an international and domestic alliance and have sued to block the implementation of the regulations for the automobiles. So now the EPA has the authority to regulate greenhouse gas emissions under the Clean Air Act, and we've always received our waivers for more stringent emission standards from EPA. But now we still have the problem of the lawsuit. And so many of us have challenged and the automobile manufacturers to send in their engineers and not their lawyers, because we know they can accomplish these objectives by using off-the-shelf existing technologies in cars.
Fran Pavley is the Senior Climate Advisor with the Natural Resources Defense Council. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.